Amen. To God be the glory for the great things that He has done. There's no doubt about it. If you have your Bible today, would you open them to John chapter 4? We're going to pick it up where we left off last week. Last week, we looked at those verses where Jesus talked about living water and how that when a person had a relationship with Him, how that He's going to put inside of that person a fountain that's going to spring up into everlasting life. And then we looked at the verse in John chapter 7 where Jesus talked about, if anyone believes in me, out of his heart will flow living waters. And so I hope that as you thought about this the message for those of us that were here last week, I hope as you thought about this message, you were confronted with the truth that every single one of us is drinking from some fountain. Every single one of us is looking for something, some relationship to give us contentment in our life. Well, today we're going to look at what Jesus said about food. And before we look at this passage, I want to take just a second, and I just want to brag on the Lord Jesus. It astounds me to open my Bible and to read some words that were written about 2,000 years ago. You can look back to parts of the Bible. They were written, some of them, up to 4,000 plus years ago. And you look at them and you think about all of the things that have changed in our world just in the last 5 years. You think about all of the things. And then you look at this book and you think, how in the world can something written so long ago be so relevant today? And you know what is amazing about this word that we hold in our hands, those of us that have a Bible? The thing that is so amazing about this word will change your life if you'll let it. And I want to throw in something else from the Old Testament. Not only will this word change your life if you will let it, this word is so powerful, it will do something inside of us today, and it will change the lives of our descendants. Now, you think about that. That is a powerful truth, yet that's what we hold in our hands. And I would like to ask you right now, just in your own heart and your own, just individually, but ask the Lord, ask the author of this word, ask the Lord to do something in your heart today that not only is so great and so powerful, it will change you, but it will change your descendants. Look, if you will, in your Bible at John chapter 4. If you're physically able, I'm going to read from verse 31 through 38, and I'm going to ask you if you're physically able to stand at the honor of the reading of God's word. In John chapter 4, the Bible just says in verse 31 that in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore, the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say that there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. But both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I have sent you to reap for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors." Would you pray with me, please? Father God, as we bow before you today, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will take this word, and God, I pray that you will mold it and shape it in such a way that it will fit into our hearts. And God, I pray that for those of us that will receive this word, Lord, I pray that it's our desire to have the hardness, the covering of our heart removed so that this word can sink in, settle in, and accomplish that thing for which you sent it. And it's in the blessed and holy name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you look at the beginning of this verse in verse 31, it just simply says, "In the meantime." And what he's talking about here is Jesus is just, this word just kind of captures everything that's taking place. The Jews and the Samaritans, these were two distinct people groups that hated one another. The Jews hated the Samaritans so much, if they were going on a journey, and that journey would require them to walk, which the straightest place would be to go through Samaria, they would literally cross the river, walk up the other side, go above the area of Samaria, and cross the river back and go back the way they were going, because they disliked these people so much, they didn't even want to walk in the place that they lived. But would you notice in verse 4 of John chapter 4, the Bible makes it abundantly clear when it said Jesus needed to go. And that's going to kind of be the key theme to what we're going to talk about as we go down through here. And Jesus has been at a well and he's been talking with a woman, and she thought he needed water, but really she needed water. He sends his disciples to buy food because they thought he was hungry, but he was trying to get them to understand what it means to truly eat. And so here's his disciples. They're in this area. The Bible doesn't say this, and I want to make sure you hear me say that. This is how I see this playing out in my own mind. But in my own mind, I see the disciples, and they're inside of the city, and they're there buying food, and they are disgusted. They're disgusted about where they are. They're disgusted by the food that they're about to have to buy. And in my mind, I see them all lined up behind Peter, and they're just walking single file through this market, and they're thinking to themselves, he fed 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch, and he sends me into this town to buy food. And I see them as just coming back with this food, and they're like, Lord, here it is. We did what you wanted us to do. And notice in verse 32, they come back, they have the food, and he says to them, I have food to eat, which you do not know. Now, last week we talked about the rivers of living water that Jesus puts inside of us. But when he says in this verse, and then it comes up again in verse 34, when he's talking about food, he's talking about the fundamental purpose of his life. Now, I would like to ask you to sincerely and honestly answer this question. Do you know what the fundamental purpose for your life is? In other words, if you look at yourself, can you honestly say, I know why I am here? I know what today is, and I know what I'm supposed to be doing today, and I find encouragement from that, I find strength from that, and I find purpose from that. And Jesus makes it abundantly clear that when he's talking about this food, he's saying that there's something spiritual. There's something inside of us spiritually that's got to be fed. And he's also saying that it's more important than the physical food that we eat. Now, let's look at verse 33. The first thing we're going to see about this food is that it satisfies from above. Jesus said, therefore his disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Now, this food is obviously a mystery, and they can't figure it out. And they think that Jesus is talking about in a physical sense when obviously he's talking about not something of the flesh, but something of the spirit. And I know that there are many people in this room that are going to say amen when I say this, but I also know that in a room this size, there are people going to have no earthly idea about the statement I'm going to make. But I want to just let you know, there are things from heaven that can satisfy in a way that things from earth never will. Now, I was hoping for a lot louder amen from those of us that know that. There are things from heaven that can satisfy in ways that things of the earth never will. Amen? And now listen, if you don't know that, my prayer is that through this message, through the coming weeks, through the coming years, you'll come to understand. Because the second thing is the food that sustains is from above. Look at verse 34. Jesus said to them, my food, that's the innermost desire of his being, his fundamental purpose in life, is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. Oh my. I didn't just read that right. Surely there's a typo there, right? You know, in my notes here, I just have a simple little sentence. This is the complete opposite. I just want to go to heaven when I die. He's saying here that his purpose is to do what God put him here to do. And I would like to ask you this, and again, I want you to answer this in your own heart before the Lord. But could you honestly say today that the purpose of your life, the sole purpose of your life, is to do what the Lord God Almighty saved you to do? You see, there's a lot of people that believe that when I got saved, all the Lord wanted me to do was to go to heaven when I died. But unfortunately, Scripture in no way supports that. And if that were true, at the moment I got saved, I would have shot out of here. And so if I have been saved for some about to be 43 years, if I've been saved for 43 years, the question is, what in the world have I been doing for the last 43 years? Right? And until we know the answer to that, until we know what God wants us to do, until we know what the purpose we were saved for, and then once we know that purpose and we're committed to it, our life will always be just like that water last week. We'll think, if I can just accomplish this, then I'll be satisfied. If I can just get this degree, then I'll be satisfied. If I can just have this amount of money, then I'll be satisfied. But the problem is the world is full of people that have those degrees. The world is full of people that have more money than what you're trying to give. The world is filled with people that have more, 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 and they're still searching. And so what we have to ask ourselves is, what is it that truly satisfies? I want to say to you, based on a 43-year walk with the Lord that certainly hasn't been sinless and it certainly hadn't been perfect, and if I could go back 43 years and do it over, there are many things about my walk with the Lord that I would do differently. But I can tell you this, every single one of us has a purpose. Every single one of us. If a person is not saved, your purpose in life is to be saved. If you are saved, your purpose is to serve the Lord God Almighty every day of your life. Every day. 24 hours of every day. Our purpose is to serve the Lord. You see, so many times we forget. Jesus said in John 20:21, and for those of you who are members of this church, this is one of the prayers that I pray for you on an ongoing basis. But in John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus said to them, "Peace I say to you, and as the Father sent me, I also send you." If you're here today and you consider yourself to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a purpose in your life. You have a spiritual purpose. There are things that God wants to do in your life, through your life, so that He can reach people that would never be reached. We're going to look at just a few things of what I believe the Bible says that is the purpose of the church. And just remember, the church is made up of individuals. So when we talk about these things, we're just talking about some of the things that all of us can commit our lives to and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're doing what the Lord's purpose for our life is. I'm going to offer to you that the first one is that we can join Jesus in carrying the gospel to the whole world. Do you know in Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus gives what we refer to as the Great Commission. And the very first thing that Jesus says in verse 19 in that verse is to go and to make disciples. Now, I want to tell you something. I know that it's not really something that we, you know, well, let me just put it this way. I've been in church long enough to know that there are things in church that we say. And when we say those things, we kind of wink when we say them. Because what that means is, I know it's what the Bible says, but we don't really believe that. And the reason I can tell you that we don't really believe that is because we love to say it, we just never get around to it. Can I get a witness? Right? I mean, we just talk and talk and talk and talk. Do you believe that? Sure, don't everybody? Well, when are we going to start? Tomorrow. Right? And what's the great thing about tomorrow? It never comes. It's always today. Right? Tomorrow never comes. Jesus said, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am always with you, even to the end of the age. Now, for those that were here last week, I'm going to start the invitation. Remember last week, it was all about the relationship. Remember Jesus said, when you receive the Spirit, you're going to receive the water. And all, you remember all that? It was all about the relationship. Everything last week about the water was about knowing who Jesus is. But when we move to the food, now it's about doing what Jesus said to do. And this is what I would like to offer to you. There are lots of people who are saved that just want to live off water. Right? They're going to tell you about their relationship. They're going to tell you about how wonderful it is. And they're going to go on and on and on and on and on and on about their relationship with Jesus. And then you ask them, well, where are you going to make disciples? Back to the water. Right? And what I want to offer to you is that if we're going to grow and we're going to be healthy, yeah, we got to have water. But you know what else we got to have? Food, right? I come from a long line of big eaters. Like to eat, right? Right? I've said this before. Hey, it's not my fault chicken's not an endangered species, right? Hey, I've done everything I can, right? But we should have that same desire to serve the Lord. And we should make the decision, God, I'm not going to be one of those people that just lives off water. God, I'm going to eat. The second thing is we need to join Jesus in evangelizing the whole world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, this is a verse we all love. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's me. He's a new creation, that's you. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Boy, we love that verse. But verse 18 says, now all things are of God, and he has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So you know what every reconciled person has? Every reconciled person has a ministry, and that's the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, when we become a new creation, we get a new job. And our job is to go out and to share the word of Jesus Christ with as many people as will listen. Now, one of the things I want to say to you is there are far too many people who just prefer to live off water. But what happens is when you go, you find that going and sharing your faith is something that is very sustaining. We're going to talk about signing up for the rodeo in just a minute. But one of the things that broke my heart is I was talking to a person, and I was there when the person professed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I had the opportunity to be there. And I was talking to them about the rodeo and about going and about sharing our faith with fellow Mississippians at the rodeo. And this person informed me rather quickly that was not their job. Rather quickly. And basically told me if I was going to wait for them to join me at the rodeo, I'm going to be waiting a really long time. Right? Now, we need to understand, if you want to be saved, praise the Lord God Almighty, from whom all blessings flow. But when we get saved, we have a responsibility. And I don't have the right to say, well, God, you can take me to heaven if you want me to, but I ain't doing that. Right? The other thing we can do is joining Jesus in making his church as effective as it can be under his lordship. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, is talking about the work of the church and the purpose of the church. It says in verse 16, from whom the whole body, joining it together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And I offer to you that there are too many people who consider themselves to be Christians when it comes to serving the Lord, say, no, I'll just take the water. I don't really want to get involved. I don't really want to find my place of service. I don't really want to do what God has called me to do, what God has saved me to do. And if you look at that verse, it says when we do those things, it causes growth of the body. And what we have to realize is because we won't do that, that's the only biblical reason why the church in America is dying. Oh, it's not dying in Rankin County. It will. It's just going to take a little longer to get here because there's so many churches in our county. But I can tell you one thing, as a whole, they're dying. The attendance is less and less and less. And we need to realize we've got to take our place of service. I want to ask you to make a commitment of carrying out the Great Commission. Let this be the year you become a disciple who makes disciples. Don't be content on living off what someone else has done. Don't be content to just drink the water. The last one I'm going to give you, and I can always tell when it's time to move on, but the last one is to join Jesus by loving others. You know, there are a lot of people. If you listen to what they say, they attend church, and they will even say these things inside church. I don't really like that person. You know what that says about us? Not something good. We have to realize that when we got saved, if God can love me, then I can love other people. And until we make the decision that, God, I want this, I know this is your will for me, and God, I'm going to do it. You know what? We'll always look at them just a little bit crazy. Look at verse 35. This is what Jesus says. He said, do you not say that there are still 4 months and then comes harvest? In other words, that's something that would have been commonly said during that day. He said, there's a time to plant. You plant the seeds. You got to wait. But he said, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the field, for they are already white. You know what Jesus said to these people, his disciples? He looked at them and he says to them, look around. You're looking at the harvest. And not only is he saying that this harvest is ready, he's saying that it's white. And when they would grow wheat, if you didn't get it when it was white, It was going to rot, and it wasn't going to be any good. And what Jesus was saying is to them is, the harvest is right now, at this minute, at this second, and all you got to do is look around, and you will see it. He's saying it's not time to plant. It's not time to water. It's time to reap. It's time to gather in. And I would like to offer to you something about these disciples. These disciples were standing in the harvest and did not see it. They were standing in the harvest, and it never occurred to them that the people that they were looking at were the very people Jesus wanted to save that day. It had never occurred to them. All they could see when they looked at those people was how unclean they were. All they could see when they looked at those people were how unworthy they were. And they were standing in the middle of the harvest and didn't even see it. Look at verse 36. Jesus said, "And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. Both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." Different jobs, same reward. Different seasons, different time for the work, same reward. Verse 37, he said, "For in this saying is true, one sows and another reaps." And then notice in verse 38, the first three words there, he said, "I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered in to their labor." Now, this is what I want to offer to you. This is one of those things that just confirms to you that I believe that the Bible is beyond anything we can imagine. Jesus says to his disciples, "I sent you to reap." You know what they said when he said that? He said, "No, you sent us to get food." And Jesus said, "No, I sent you to reap." And they said, "No, you sent us to get food. We brought it to you. We thought you'd eat somewhere else." And Jesus said, "No, I sent you to reap." Because Jesus knew that the harvest was ready. Jesus knew everything had been done. And he asked them to join in the work of others. And this is what's amazing. Jesus is saying he did not send them to get food. He sent them to eat. Can y'all follow me on that? Because he had a purpose, he had a will, he sent them for a reason. And what is amazing to me, I started thinking about it, every time that the gospel is shared for the purpose of expanding the kingdom, some plant, some water, and some reap, but every single time the gospel is shared, something happened. It may not be what we want, it may not be the results at that second that we want, but every single time. I don't know. I really don't know how that our church got to be at the forefront of this rodeo ministry. For those of you that don't know, in February there's going to be the Dixie National Rodeo. The Evangelism Department at the Baptist Convention Board, they've got a booth over there. It's a 10 by 30 booth, and there's going to be teams of six people that are going to go in there, and they're going to share the gospel with people that walk by. I do believe that this is not confirmed, but I do believe, you know, one of them, that I think they call them a quad. It's a four-wheeler that four people can ride on. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Got seats, buckle in, roll bar. If I've understood correctly, that's what they're going to be giving away. And so can you imagine all of us rednecks looking at that? I don't have anywhere to park it or ride it, but I sure would like to win that thing. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? And we're going to have the privilege of basically, he's going to basically give our church the sign-up sheet. And we're going to take, sign up in groups of six, and two people are going to be what they call catching, and then the other four people are going to be sharing their testimony. And I want to encourage you to sign up, because I want you to know every time the gospel is shared, something good. No, let me rephrase that. Something God happens. Amen. Every single time. When we were in Wyoming, we shared the gospel with a group of people. It wasn't just us, but people got saved. That day we went to the fair and did that face painting. People got saved. And what we need to realize is, every time the gospel is shared, something is going to happen. And it's going to be God. And I want to encourage you to do it. But I want to ask you another question. Remember, I made the reference to the fact that Jesus said he needed to go. Have you ever stopped and considered that so many times, things that we start a prayer chain over, could be the very thing that Jesus needed us to do. Has it ever occurred to you, and boy, I don't like to say these things because I'm talking to myself first, but has it ever occurred to you that the reason your car broke down is because somebody at the mechanic shop needs something? Has it ever occurred to you that when your dryer tears up, is it possible the reason your dryer tore up is because the person that's working on your dryer needs something? Is it possible that the reason that you're sick is because your sickness is going to put you in front of somebody that needs something? What about your job? You ever wondered why in the world is it possible because there's somebody there that needs something? Is it? Is it possible? Don't miss the satire of this. Is it possible that we miss the harvest? Is it possible that we miss being satisfied by eating the things that God has for us? Is because we refuse to go where the food is. Is it possible? It is possible. If we can walk through it and not see it, then it's possible that it could be right in front of us and we never realize that's what God has for us. Listen, I want to make this plea from the absolute bottom of my heart. I want to say the word please 10 times. Please, 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 please. Please, 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 please. Parents, bring your children to the rodeo. You say, they're too young to share the gospel. They will pick up on what we're doing. And they will believe, when I get old, this is what I am supposed to do, as opposed to looking at me saying, you crazy if you think I'm going to do that. Right? And I want to plead with you, bring your children over there. Please, I'm pleading with you from the bottom of my heart. Sunday school teachers, sign your class up. You say, I'm not going to do that because my class won't do it. The saints will. Amen. The saints will. Something inside of us will be like, listen, I just want to say this about sharing my little testimony. My little testimony, in my humble opinion, is nothing. I've read a lot of your testimonies. I've heard a lot of them. And some of you have dynamic testimonies. But you know the testimony that I have? I have the testimony God gave me. And who am I to say that what God has done in my life is not sufficient? Who am I to say that just because I was saved when I was 10 years old, that's not worth telling anybody about? I got news for you. It is. It's good news. It's great news. It's wonderful. And I want to encourage Sunday school teachers, sign your class up. So if y'all are in my class, you know what that means, right? Y'all are about to, all the Sunday school classes around my door are about to get some visitors next week. You send them back by making them sign up, right? Send them back. Listen, youth, please don't commit the sins of your forefathers in the Christian life. Get your name on the paper. Let us help you. Let us help you. And then make the decision right now as a 12-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 14-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 16-year-old. I am going to do what God called me to do. And when you stand before the Lord, it's obvious that my ministry is not going to go the same way as Billy Graham's. But I'll tell you this. When I stand before the Lord, I'm going to say, God, I did what you told me to do. And when I can say, God, I did what you told me to do, the next words are already in Scripture. Well done, a good and faithful servant. And there's not a single believer that can't do what Jesus told us to do. And that's all we're going to do. We're not going to do anything beyond what he has said. Listen, as we go into the invitation today, I want to tie all this in together. Last week, when we looked at the first part about the water, Jesus is talking with a woman, and he uses that water to talk about the relationship that will only satisfy, that only one relationship. And today he's talking about food. And when he's talking about food, he's using it as a metaphor for the things that we must do. And guys, we have to come balance in our mind for those of us that profess that we want to be saved. We have to balance out, okay, there's a relationship that satisfies like no other. But we also have to bring in the balance. Okay, God, you've saved me, and now there's something that I got to do. And I say this with no glee and no joy. There are a lot of people who have professed faith in Christ that now don't serve him. And if you talk to them and ask them, are they saved? They would say, yes, I am. I am a blood-bought child of the King, and I do believe that. But when you ask them what they're doing for the Lord, they're like, man, I don't go to church. You don't have to go to church to be saved, right? And what we have to realize is it's not just enough. Jesus doesn't want us to just have a relationship. But out of that relationship, he wants us to do something. And when we start walking in what he wants us to do, what's amazing is the more you work out, the more hotter you get. What do you need? Water. And then when you drink the water, you feel better. Now you're ready to go out and do more. And then you go out and do more. And then, do you see the cycle? Do you see the cycle? And until we step out in that place of faith where it's like, Lord God, if you don't do this, this is not going to happen. Until we get ourselves in that place where our life is totally and completely lived by faith. And when we get to that point, guess what? We're going to constantly be engaged where God would have us. But you know what? We're going to constantly have a need for more. Remember when we talked, Jesus used the word drinks. Whoever drinks this water, that's an S. And if you remember from last week, it's talking about over and over and over and over and over and over. And what happens is the more we do, the more we need. But you have to flip it around. The less we do. Right? And these two things are like a seesaw. And they work together. And somehow, as the master teacher, somehow Jesus uses food and water to show us what every single one of us need physically and spiritually. And he shows us how these things work together. And he shows us the desire. I want to read a verse. And then we're going to wind up. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also the Greek. And verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I want to ask you something. Have you got enough faith today to commit to do God's will? You got enough faith to say, God, I'm going to be an example to my children of what it means to eat and what it means to drink. God, I'm going to gather them up and we're going to go. And God, we're going to serve you. Now listen, you come over there when I'm not there, they may tell you your children aren't welcome. You just make sure you sign up when I'm there. I'm going to be there most of the time. And I will tell you from the bottom of my heart, it is a privilege to serve God. It is. And listen, if you don't think there hadn't been times in my life that I haven't looked up to heaven and said, Lord, there is no possible way. No possible way. And the voice from heaven seems to always say, good, now we can get somewhere. Right? right? You see, the reason we don't eat and the reason we don't drink, if we were honest, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but when you hear that rodeo minister, your thought is, boy, I hope they have fun. Boy, I hope a lot of people get saved. But your thought is, not me, cat. Not me. And I want to plead with you, please sign up. Please come over there. See God at work. I will promise you, based on the authority of Scripture, the Lord God is going to be shared through a verbal witness. And you know what's going to happen time after time after time after time? You know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? Yeah, y'all know. Y'all don't want to say it. What's going to happen? Say it, Smokey. What's going to happen? People are going to get saved. People are going to get saved. It's going to be rejoicing in heaven. And I want to plead with you. Plead with you. Bring your children. Bring them over there. Let them see what we're doing. Make them as much a part of what we're being as they doing as they are able to do. Because I guarantee you, they will view church differently. And they will view you as their spiritual leader differently. Sunday school teachers, sign your class up. Some of them ain't going to come. Who you going to listen to? The yay-sayers or the naysayers? Right? The church staff, we're going to be over there. I can't wait until we can find 2 hours that we can. There's not six of us. Somebody's going to have to help us. But I can't wait till we can be over there together sharing Christ, trying to give away a $10,000, whatever they call those things. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be awesome. And I do ask you to be praying how our church wound up on the forefront of this. All glory to God. And the state evangelism director has a lot of confidence in y'all. And so do I. So we're going to get started. Sign up next week. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, as we close out this message, God, Lord, I know that in our lives there are so many times that we are mistaken about things. And we think we know what satisfies and we think we know what we need. And we never consider spiritual things. We never say, this must be because this is God's will. We never say, I'm just going to take that step of faith and I'm going to take it today and I'm just going to continue to take it because, God, this is what your word says and then it has to be right. It has to be true. It has to be best. And, God, I know that many of us grew up in churches where there wasn't a great emphasis on sharing your faith. There was just an emphasis on being saved and then waiting for the rapture. And, Lord, it's caused a whole generation of Americans to needlessly die in their sin. And so, God, I pray that you would work in us so that you can work through us. And, God, I want to thank you for what you're going to do at that rodeo. I want to thank you for what you're going to do in our Sunday school classes. I want to thank you for what you're going to do in our families. I want to thank you for what you're going to do in the staff, Lord, as we go and just be reminded of what the true purpose is. And God, I know that when we eat of that food, Lord, we'll be ready to do it again because it won't be about us. It'll be about you. So God, I pray right now that you would just bring us to that place of being committed to doing what you've called us to do. And it's in the blessed and holy name of Jesus that we pray.